with the love put into our hearts. And Lord, we give to you our minds this morning and pray that we might use them to your benefit as the kingdom of God is shared among us, as we use our minds to serve you. Fill our minds with your teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last century, an excellent scholar by the name of Joachim Jeremias, something like that, you pronounce it. He's a German Lutheran, and he wrote at least these two books, one of them called Jerusalem in the Time of Jesus, and he's an expert at, you know, finding out things, telling us things about Jesus' times that we didn't probably understand that well. He also wrote another book called The Parables of Jesus, and this book makes one point, and the one point he makes is that parables make one point. Joachim Jeremias was, he also said that makes one point, and all the little details don't mean this and this and this. It's not an allegory like, it's kind of Aesop's Fables. I was going to say C.S. Lewis's Narnia stories, but I'm not much of an expert on that, so I'll refrain from that at this stage, Kevin. So he said that parables make one point, but and they don't make thousands of points like an allegory. But in more recent times, a scholar by the name of Craig Blomberg, he came to Australia, he said actually they make one point, and sometimes they make 2 points, and occasionally they make 3 points. So he said they're more 1, 2, and 3 points. And occasionally there's a little bit of allegory in there as well. I think he was right. Anyway, but he said there's seldom allegories. Today's message does have a little bit of that sort of allegory. There's a number of points being made, and it follows on, today's story actually follows on, where Jesus talks about four soils in order to make one point. He says there's the path where you walk along, some seed fell on that. There's the shallow or rocky ground where it's not that deep and the seeds get started, but then it doesn't grow because it's not enough soil. The third one is the thorns and thistles, the cares of this world, tangle up the plant and it doesn't produce the grain. And the last one is the good soil, and the good soil grows and it produces fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. It just varies. Some people are kind of, you know, respond in different ways. You know, every one of us here responds at a different level to God's word. Some devour it. We, you know, sort of eat it up. We love to hear, can't wait to hear some more. Some it's like, oh yeah. I believe in Jesus. And yeah, I get a bit, got a bit out of the sermon today. Others are kind of eager to grow. Others used to be, and then a few things came along and, you know, but every one of us, given that we have faith and believe in Jesus, are responsive to him. Hearing his word is what, that's the main thing that characterises us. I don't think we'd be churchgoers these days anymore if we didn't want to hear what God is saying to us. But we all grow at different levels, fair enough? And sometimes it's like that in life. You have a kind of a growth spurt and then you, you know, level off for a while and then later on you shrink, you know. So it you know that feeling. But you can continue to grow in Christ. You can open your ears anew today, this year, make a New Year's resolution in, you know, the end of January, and go, I'm gonna really give my attention to hear what God is saying and understand some things that I need to know. And Jesus said that a person who hears the word of God and accepts it, they bear fruit. A lot of people hear it and go, you know what? I don't like that verse much. No, I don't know. They made a mistake. That's not what Jesus is calling us to do. To hear the word, accept it, receive it, and adjust everything else in your thinking and your life, because the word, you know, is primary and it is true. And so then things that you thought you have to adjust. I've got a question. I wonder how it is that you make your decisions as a Christian person. Do you hear the word of God and accept it and bear fruit? Or do you try and think, what's the most loving course of action would be here? Or do you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know the WWJD? What would Jesus do if he had to make a decision about coal or wind power? Well, we don't know. He didn't have to, you know. Do you just sort of wing it? Is that how you listen to what God is saying? Do you sort of, yeah, I got the gist of being a Christian. I'm going to wing it from here. Or do you recall what the Bible says on this or that matter, or try and search it out, see if it says something, and then kind of put your thinking following after the wisdom that God has? So here's three ways that Christians today often approach hearing the word of God. Number one, experience is king. They see how does this fit with my experience? And if it doesn't, well, it'll have to adjust. That's not my experience. So the word of God has to shift or shove over a bit. The other is interpretation is king. You know, find the scholar that I like best and I'll follow the interpretation that I, you know, want to follow. So human interpretation above the word. Or is hearing God an absolute priority? That's a third way. And then knowing then that even though the word's a bit painful and there's often still a joyful encounter with Jesus at the end, and that hearing from him speaking is life itself. This is eternal life, says Jesus, that they know you, Father, and him whom you have sent. And so that we do his will. That's how you know it, is you hear, and then in the hearing, that's where you start. You're doing already by hearing, you do it that way. One of the reasons there's a split down the middle of the United Church at the moment, it's not because the Bible's too difficult to know, it's because we have two different ways of hearing God's word. One is primarily along experiential lines, interpretive lines. Another one saying, no, actually, we need to hear what God is saying and God is speaking to us. And there's another factor as well, the pressure of modern day culture, which you all have, whether you're a really, especially say if you're teenagers, you've got peer pressure, but you still have peer pressure in the bowls club, don't you? It never goes away, does it? And even when you're little, I've watched my two little grandchildren and there's some peer pressure going on there already. So, but you have to resist that and just hear what God is saying, and then be, one, that you're justified, two, that you're sanctified, you're washed, you're cleansed, you're made new, you're a new person. God digs an ear for you. The psalm says he's dug an ear for me. And so then it's to keep actually hearing livingly the word of God. It's not a woody, crusty thing. I'm not speaking about what we call harsh, sort of fundamentalism, which just kind of nearly more worships the Bible than the living Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hearing the Word of God. The Word of God. One of the great things about this little parable, Alan Cole has pointed out, he was a commentator, he said there's a double law of spiritual atrophy and spiritual growth. To those who learn and pass on what they've learned, more will be given. For those who don't, they lose the thrust of their dynamism and often go about life in a different way than hearing and doing. To hear is to respond obediently. To hear is to grow. More will be given. Or you actually seal over and you can't hear. The Bible speaks about Israel. They had the word of God. Hear, O Israel, listen. And they had the word of God, but they went into a famine. The prophet said there's a famine of hearing the word of God. No one was hearing it anymore. It was there. But they'd just gone into a famine, complete starvation of hearing. Okay. Which would be a tragedy, and it's a tragedy for a society to go into that, a sort of state where you can no longer hear what God is saying to you, or a community. Today, these three things remain true that Jesus taught us. He is the light of the world. If you are, it's a huge claim, it's a winsome claim. Jesus comes and says, well, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me, you won't walk in darkness. But that's a confrontational word to a dark, to a world who loves darkness rather than light, who want to cling to evil deeds rather than come into the light. That's a no-no. So when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, oh, well, what about Muhammad and what about Buddha? They had a bit of light shining, didn't they? Confucius? They're all dead. That's a good point. They're all dead. So Jesus is up on a lampstand. He's the ascended Lord. He is shining from the throne of ascension. He is the light of the world because his resurrection shines light on God's purpose. Ask anyone what the purpose of anything is. They can tell you the candle is there to give some light. The microphone's there to help with sound. They can tell you what a bicycle's for. It's to get from A to B. But you ask people without faith, what's the purpose of the world? Well, there isn't one. No one knows. It's just here. Tommy Rott. The purpose of the world is to glorify the Creator. It is to bring all things together into wonderful harmony so that everyone and everything gives praise and thanks to God. Everyone and everything who wants to be part of that. The world is purposed. It is destined. It has a goal. You only know that if you follow the light of the world. If you don't, you won't know. You haven't got that in you. Jesus gives the Spirit without measure. John 3:34 says, so every one of us here, I said we all grow at a different rate, but has God apportioned the Spirit to us in different measure? No. I love it, Barb. You have a think I'm going for this. I'm sure I've learned it. I know it. No. That's it. No. The Spirit is not given without measure. The Holy Spirit is poured out and you are to receive and go on being filled with the Spirit. So Jesus says, love the Lord your God with half of your heart and a quarter of your mind and a little bit of the strength you've got left. No, with all you have. and he gives you the Spirit without measure, fullness, that you might live in fullness. Jesus' work is hidden. The kingdom of God grows in a secret and a hidden way. And, you know, something is happening here in Clare, and it is happening if we're a listening congregation, that seed is growing and doing good work. If we're not, then it's not going to bring forth fruit. So it all comes down to that, but it comes down not to our hearing, but to the sovereign work of God. He is sovereign over what's happening in the hidden aspects. People hearing produce great change in their own life. Do you find you have to keep changing in your life? Or have you settled into a crusty Christian? I just kind of just do this. No, you are to hear and let be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can do the will of God. So you're transformed in your own life. Churches are transformed. Communities and nations are transformed. Today's 3 points we've gone over a few times. Let me just say it from one other person's perspective. I'll say this a lot this year. Leslie Newbegin says the resurrection of Jesus, he taught in India. People used to say, is the gospel ever going to make its way in India? And he said, that's not my concern. What my concern is that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. That is what I focus on. And he says, this is public truth. Don't let the world say you can have your privatized religion. You can have your view as long as you just pipe down and keep it inside your building or inside your head. It's public truth for the world. It's to be put on a lampstand. Jesus' intention is for this to happen so that the light actually brings light to the world. A scientist and an educationalist and a musician and a farmer all need to give heed to the word, because it'll help you to educate, to play music, to be a farmer, or whatever other creative thing you do. Number two, the measure in relation to hearing from Jesus. Jesus has given his Spirit in full measure. Apart from the Spirit, you cannot hear. The Spirit is God's, the God-breathing work of the Spirit is the Scriptures, is a result of that, is the result of God's God-breathing action. Come, Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. Let us thine influence prove. And that same hymn says, unseal the sacred book. Let it come to life for us. You need the Spirit. You need the battle. The battle is where you test it out. Luther used to say, you listen, you pray, you listen to take the word in, and then you go out and you experience anfechtung. Had some anfechtung lately? It's the struggle, the battle, the difficulty. That's where you grow. The angst and the measure you give, well, it works out better. I think it was Lucy to Charlie Brown. It might have been Lucy to Linus. Anyway, it went like this. Lucy says, you get exactly out of life what you put into it. Not a bit more, not a bit less. And I think it was Charlie Brown who said, I was rather hoping there was a little more room for error than that. There is. You live in the grace of God, and all of this is in the wonderful grace of God. Seed is hidden in relation to being sown. That word is hidden. You must learn to live by faith and not by sight. You cannot see all or even hardly a part of what God's doing. Every now and then you get a glimpse. But you must go on by faith, believing that's happening. And right at the end, Mark says there's a harvest. The end that comes and the sickle goes in and there's a harvest. Some say that's the kind of watch out harvest at the end of the age. That's part of it, but it's also the harvest of Pentecost. As they listened, as the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, a massive harvest came because people heard God's word as the Spirit was poured out. That's what we're praying for. Let me finish with a few kind of proverbial words from Galatians and another quote. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a personality. Sow a personality, reap a community. Sow a community, reap a nation. If you sow thoughts and actions, and if a whole society sows thoughts and actions, you will reap a harvest accordingly. Galatians 5:7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from your flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what's right, for we'll reap a harvest time, and if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who are of the family of God, because they're experiencing the infecting, the battle, the difficulty. I reckon I'm nearly done. I'm just going to tell you what happens next is two stories. A storm, Mark tells us, a storm at sea. Jesus is having a sleep. And the next one is a demoniac going mad and crazy. Jesus calms the demoniac and everybody's afraid. He calms the storm and everybody's afraid. Who is this guy? Well, he's the light of the world. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we don't know how you work to grow us in grace, but we are thankful that your word has been planted in our hearts, and by your Spirit we are together growing in the grace of God. Help us, Lord, to give our best in 2019, and forgive us and have mercy on us, Lord, where we fail to do that. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay. Whoops. I preached a tad long, so we'll try and have a short communion for your benefit. We'll come straight to communion. That's a good idea. Good idea.
This is the Lord's table, and you are all invited. If you have faith in Christ, you're welcome to this table today. And come in faith, believe.